Take your Bibles with me. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah tonight. Jeremiah chapter number one. Jeremiah chapter number one. It is good to be in the Lord's house and just looking forward to what the Lord has for us, not only tonight, but through the rest of the week. And that's unless he comes back, and that'd be all right. We could just go on and worship around the things of the Lord in heaven. But in the meantime, God does have some things for us, and so I'm looking forward tonight. Jeremiah chapter 1, you follow along as I begin reading, beginning in verse number 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Drop down to the end of the chapter, if you would, and look with me in verse 17. Verse 17, Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Our Father tonight, once again, without any desire of being repetitious, God, we thank you for the privilege of being assembled in this place. God, thank you for your word, the ability to be able to have it, be able to look into it and have it preached to us. Father, regardless of who the preacher is, to have it preached is a privilege, Father, that I'm not sure any of us can really grasp this side of eternity. But God, I'm asking you tonight that you'll help. I pray that you'll take what you've laid upon my heart, give me the ability tonight that is beyond me to be able to communicate what you're saying from this passage, and may the Holy Spirit work in our heart and draw us to a greater service and a greater commitment to the things of God. Help us tonight, meet with us, work out your will and your way in our lives. God, we'll be careful tonight to thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so very, very much. You may be seated. We are introduced here officially to the prophet Jeremiah. And I'll just tell you tonight that the longer I go in my service for the Lord, the more Jeremiah personally means to me. I appreciate what he went through. I appreciate how he handled things, and I appreciate that he was real and just walked with God and did what God wanted him to do. He was not given an easy task in that which God wanted for him. Just so we're all on the same page, it was God's will that Jeremiah preach about the backslidden condition of the nation of Judah and pronounced to them judgment that was coming if they didn't turn. And I'll tell you, we read it tonight, and it seems like there in verse number 18, God says, hey, don't be afraid of their faces. As a preacher, I appreciate that. I've been a lot of places that wonder what somebody's thinking by the faces that are looking out. But it seems like God just tells him, he said, listen, they're going to fight against you. They're not going to listen to you. And everything that I've said to you, you're going to speak and you're going to be against the kings. You're going to be against the princes. You're going to be against the priest and the people. And sometimes as a preacher, you feel like, well, you're just against everything. Okay, people think that I'm against everything. But that's really Jeremiah's ministry. It wasn't one of accolades. It wasn't one of notoriety and where everybody accepted him and appreciated it. And yet what God had for Jeremiah, this wasn't just a one-time sermon. This wasn't just a week of meetings. If you read there in our passage in the opening verses, we find that Jeremiah's ministry spanned over several kings of the nation of Judah. In fact, we find that it covered 18 years of Josiah's reign and went through another 11 years of Jehoiakim. It then concluded at 11 years of Zedekiah. In between that, there's a king who reigned for 3 months by the name of Jehoaz, another one who reigned another 3 months by the name of Jeconiah. And my friend, we're looking at 40 plus years, not including what his ministry went after they went into captivity. And I'm just telling you tonight, for 40 plus years, Jeremiah did exactly what God asked of him, what God wanted from him. He was faithful to proclaim and do his best to get the attention of the nation of Judah and draw their hearts back to God, regardless of whether they were receptive, regardless of what they wanted. Jeremiah tried his best to do what God wanted from him. And you say tonight, well, preacher, that's Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a super saint. Well, can I tell you tonight, if we're not careful, sometimes we look at these characters that are emboldened in the Bible and we look at them as if they were super, as if they had some kind of extraordinary strength or somehow that they were special and unique. And outside of his faithfulness and desire to do what God wanted him to do, listen, he was a normal man that served a great God and did what God wanted from him. In fact, I would call your attention tonight to a little bit of his background. The Bible tells you and I that he comes from Anathoth of the priests. Now, Anathoth is a village that's about 3-4 miles north of Jerusalem at this time. It's where many of the priests who kept the furniture and the ministry of the house of God, especially in the temple, and they would do things, the Kohathites, who according to Joshua chapter 21, 1 Chronicles chapter 6, we find that the Kohathites took care of the Ark of the Covenant and they resided in this particular village of Anathoth. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly where Jeremiah grew up. He grew up amongst a people that were serious about the work of God, that gave their lives to serve the Lord and took care of the house of God. In fact, his own father was not just a priest, but according to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 9, we find that Hilkiah during the reign of Josiah was the high priest. So, okay, preacher, what's your point? God is not just after Jeremiah because of who his family is. And God is not just after Jeremiah because of where he grew up. God wants Jeremiah because God has an interest in Jeremiah himself. And God wants to use his life for his purpose because Jeremiah is important to God and God wants to use him. And here's what we find sometimes in church. We grow up in church. We are in church for a number of years. And we began to develop the idea, well, God will use other people. But God couldn't use me. And I got news for you, my friend. God has a will has a plan and a purpose for every single child of God. He wants to use them because God is invested in them and interested in their life and wants to use them for His purpose. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the missionaries or a particular certain group. I'm telling you, every child of God, God has a plan for your life tonight. I could go to my children tonight, look at every one of them in the eye and say, God has a plan for you, not just because of who your daddy is. In fact, I could say God has a plan for you in spite of who your daddy is. God has a will for them. And I may not know each one of you by name tonight, but if you're saved as a child of God, based on all authority of the Word of God, I could go to each one of you tonight, look you in the eye, and encourage your heart. God has something He wants you to do. And notice with me tonight how Jeremiah handles this. In verse number 6, Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God!" Exclamation point. Lord, can I put it in our modern Oklahoma vernacular for you? Lord, I think you got the wrong person. Lord, do you know who you're talking to? Lord, do you know I could never do this? I could never do what Brother Merritt does week after week after week and preaching sermons and teaching Bible Institute and doing all. I could never do that. Well, can I tell you tonight, you can do exactly what God wants for you. And God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God wants to use your life. Maybe you're here tonight. Some young person says, "Well, preacher, I'm young. I don't have a whole lot of life experience." And I got it. We don't back home, just so we're aware and on the same page. We're not putting teenagers teaching doctrinal classes and that kind of stuff. But I can tell you, even as a young person that's saved by the grace of God, God's got a will for your life. You say, "Well, yeah, preacher, you preach to the young people." Well, hold on. You might have the mentality tonight, "Well, I'm up in years and I can't do what I used to." And physically that might be true. But regardless of where your physical ability is, I would encourage you tonight, God still has a will for you too. This isn't for a certain age group. This isn't, "Well, somebody, preacher, you wouldn't be saying that tonight if you knew my past, if you knew where I came from." I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow around the people of God. And I tell you, my friend, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your circumstances. If you're saved by the grace of God, it ought to be an encouraging thing to know that the sovereign God of eternity has a plan just for you. I mean, it's custom made for your life. That blows my mind. That's incredible. Not only did God love me enough to get a hold of my heart and save me from my sin and forgive me, but then to know that that same God desires for somebody like me to serve Him. I want to encourage your heart tonight and give you a couple of thoughts from our passage on this thought. Yes, God wants to use you. Oh, preacher, me? Yes, you. Every single one of us tonight, God wants to use you for His service. Notice, first of all, the explanation of being used. Notice with me in our passage tonight and verse number 5. Because here's what he says. The Lord speaking to Jeremiah says, "Before I formed thee in the belly." Now, the Lord begins to speak to here and he begins to explain right from the passage why God wants to use him in the first place. Notice how he says this. "Before I formed thee in the belly." Now, the first thing God starts out establishing, Jeremiah, I want to use you because that's why I created you. Jeremiah is not a product of evolution. I know what our world says, and I know what the public school system is teaching and that kind of stuff, and our secular universities, but ladies and gentlemen, they couldn't be more wrong. We didn't evolve millions and millions of years into developing humanity the way we are. Every single one of us that got breath in our bodies today were formed and developed and created by God Himself. God created you. And not only were you created by God, but you were created tonight for God.
Right.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. He created me, preacher, but it's my life. It's your life in the sense that He allows you the free will to make choices. But my friend, you were created for Him that you might bring Him glory and honor and serve Him in whatever capacity He would choose. So it's my life. Yeah, given to you for the very purpose that you might serve Him. God created us. What right does God have to over my life? Okay, I thought I already made that point. He created us. We were literally formed by God Himself. Listen to me. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. The Bible says all things were created by Him and for Him. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's God speaking to His people, telling us why He formed us to begin with. And so God begins to tell Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I want to use you, and one of the reasons is this is why I created you to begin with. But then notice something else. He says this. In verse number 5, he says, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. The word knew here is a word which means to acknowledge, to be familiar with, to have an intimate understanding. Do you understand with me tonight that nobody knows you like God knows you? I mean... the secret things of our heart that we never want anybody else to be aware of, God knows. God is intimately familiar with you and I as His people. And He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I had an intimate understanding and familiarity with you. And by such, God knew what it would take to get us where we are, that we might come to that point and place, not only where we would trust Him, but my friend, where we would give our lives to serve Him. Okay, God knew what it would take for me to get me to the point to where I'd be willing to lay my life and yield it to His service. When I was young, about four, a little over years old, I was adopted. I was adopted out of a horrible situation and such, and through some connections and things, I got adopted. And of all the places I could have been adopted, I landed in the home of a Baptist preacher. Say, wow, preacher, what coincidence. About as much coincidence as Ruth happening on Boaz's field. It's the grace of God. It's the providential hand of God. It's God working out. You ever thought why you're born, not just where you are, but in the time frame you are? Why are you born in this age, living now, instead of the 1800s? Why weren't you put in the 1200s on the backside of a desert nowhere? God, in His goodness, knew the most opportune situation and circumstances to get you to the point to where you would be able to give your life to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. A young person, sometimes you think, oh,
my mom and dad, they're controlling and they got so many rules and they got so many regulations and that kind of stuff. Do you understand with me tonight that you have the parents you have because God knew you? And of all the places you could have been raised, of all the circumstances and situations God could have put you in, He allows you the honor of growing up in a Christian home and a solid Baptist church that'll teach you about the right Bible and the right things and the right doctrine. And my friend, having that privilege, God knew what it would take. He knew what was needed. He knew where you needed to be, who your parents should have been. He knew all the circumstances to get you to this place where He could use your life. It's hard to get bitter over anything when you look at it like that. It's hard to be down in the mouth and say, well, preacher, you just don't know what I've been through. But you understand that those things you've been through have led you to where you are. And my friend, if it took this to get you here, to give your life to Him, all that is worth getting to where you are now. God begins to explain this to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And then He says this, I sanctified thee and ordained thee. I set you apart. Now again, God knew not only what it would take to get you where you are, and God has you in the circumstances and situations for your benefit tonight. But listen to me this. What an awesome thought that of everybody God could have put in this church, God put you. No, preacher, I just happened to be here. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, that God has set the members in the body as it pleased Him. You're here not by accident. You're here by the working of God in your life and have been added to this church. And my friend, not everybody in Knobnostra, I mean, we all wish everybody in Knobnostra was a member of Calvary Baptist and those kind of things. But no, you're here tonight. And you're here. And you're here. And God has you here because He has sanctified you and He has something for your life specifically. God begins to deal with Jeremiah about this. And He explains this very, very clearly. The Lord spends time talking to him and personally helping him understand that He wants to use him. And by the way, there were other people in Jeremiah's day that were vying to be prophets. No, there's a whole bunch of prophets that were telling Judah, peace, peace, don't worry. God's not going to bring judgment. God's not going to do anything. You just go ahead and do what you want. In the days of Josiah, when they got the temple, if you go to read chapter 17 of the book of Jeremiah, the people began to develop the idea, well, we got the temple. God would never destroy the temple and God would never bring judgment. And so they started listening to the so-called preachers of that day. And my friend, they began to turn their backs even further away from God. So what's your point? Not everybody had been called to do what Jeremiah wanted to do, or God wanted Jeremiah to do. And to think that God has a specific will for you, we sometimes develop this idea, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. Do you know that's not always true? There may be people that God has connected just to your life, and you're the only person that's on the face of planet Earth that has the ability to get them the gospel. Well, if I don't give it to them, somebody else will. That's not true. God can use somebody else, but you've got no guarantee tonight that He will. And so God begins to explain this. I want to use you for this purpose. Now, we see not only the explanation of being used, but look at the passage tonight and notice with me the excuses against being used. Here's what Jeremiah says. He said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, many believe that Jeremiah was probably in his early 20s. About this time within Jewish culture, they would often consider a man up until his 30s, still a child, and those kind of things. And so he's young, but he's not a child as if maybe a toddler or an infant or somebody along those lines. He's just a young man, and he's saying, Lord, I'm young, I can't speak. And he begins to hesitate to do what God wants him to do. Now, I want you to see this with me tonight. His hesitation is not based upon trusting God. Okay. He did not say, Lord, I don't trust you. You don't find that anywhere in Jeremiah's vocabulary. His hesitation and the excuses that come from it are not rooted in his trust in God. They're rooted in his doubt about himself. And a lot of time there are those that sit in the house of God that truly love the Lord. They want to walk with God. They have a heart for the things of God. And God begins to stir them. And God begins to put his finger on, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to do that. And God begins to work. And they begin to hesitate. And the hesitation isn't, well, God, I don't know about this. And God, it's not a rebellious spirit. It's a very hesitant spirit because they're afraid of who they are and they say, Lord, I can't do this. Do you know often in the Bible, those to whom feel like an unlikely candidate are the very ones God uses? Many people in the Bible to whom God wanted to use initially responded with this bit of hesitation. We find that Moses hesitated in Exodus chapter 3. We find that Gideon hesitated in Judges chapter 6. God came to him and wanted to use him to lead the people of God. And he said, oh, I'm the least of my father's house, of the least of the tribe of Manasseh. I'm a nobody, Lord. You got the wrong person. I couldn't do this. His hesitation was not in God, but himself. We find in Acts chapter 9, God wanted to use Ananias to help lead and baptize and direct the Apostle Paul when he was still Saul at that time. And certainly Ananias was hesitant. Lord, I've heard about this guy. Joshua. It's interesting you read Joshua chapter 1. And five times within the first 9 verses, God says something along the lines, be of good cheer. Have not I commanded thee? I'll be with you. As I was with Moses, even so I'll be with thee. I have sent thee. I'll help you. I'll be with you. 5 times within 9 verses. Why? Because I believe Joshua somewhere in his heart thought, if Moses can't accomplish leading the people into the promised land, then who am I to do this and try to accomplish what somebody like Moses can? And I'm just trying to help us understand that often as a child of God, when we talk about service and doing what God wants us to do and God begins to speak to our heart, it's not a distrust or a rebellion against God. Often we hesitate because it's not about God, it's about us. And we know us. We know what we're like when nobody else is around. And we know our frailties. We know our problems. We know our insecurities. And I'd encourage you tonight that, my friend, as much as you know you, God knows you better. And God still has a desire to use your life for his plan and his purpose. And so we're not to get caught up in the excuses. In fact, may I say this also tonight, in addition, we cannot hide our hesitation, but we don't need to hide it under the guise of humility. Some of you are processing what I just said. But listen to me, we can't hide our hesitation under the guise or the mask of humility. And here's what I mean by that. I've been told, oh, preacher, I could never do that. I'm not worthy to do that. Well, come on, that's a no-brainer. None of us are worthy to serve the Lord. In fact, Luke chapter 3, verse 16, there's a man to whom Jesus said was the greatest born among women. And John the Baptist himself said out of his own lips, he said, listen, I'm not worthy to unlatch the laces of his shoes. Not a one of us are worthy to do anything in the work of God. But often people use the guise of humility. Oh, I just can't do that. And really what they mean in their heart, I won't. Isaiah saw himself for what he was in chapter 6 when he got a good glimpse of God. And by the way, this is free for you tonight. We got to be careful about trying to present God as some kind of buddy and some kind of friend and that kind of stuff. No, he's God tonight. And my friend, if we want to see ourselves for who we are, it'll be seen in the light of who he is. And when he's more, when we try to make God more like us, then we don't see ourselves for who we really are. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. And in response, here's what he said. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. I understand who I am. I understand the society in which I live. And my friend, just another verse or two later, God says, who shall we send? And Isaiah said, here my Lord, send me. He was humble. And he didn't think that he was worthy. But he had enough love and appreciation for God and what God had done for him. And he got a good glimpse of who God was. And he said, God, if you need somebody and would give me the privilege and honor of being able to do something for you, I'll do whatever it is. And I'm just telling you tonight, there's really no place for the excuses of not doing what God wants us to do. We see tonight the explanation. We see the excuses. But then we see the exhortation. When Jeremiah is truly in his heart, Lord, I can't speak. I'm a child. And he hesitated because of himself. We find that the Lord began to exhort him. And I love this about God. I love how God helps us and deals with us and challenges us along the way to be able to serve him. The word exhort means this. It means to encourage, to advise, or to cheer, or to give strength. God is cheering and trying to strengthen Jeremiah for the task. Jeremiah, you can do this. Jeremiah, I've got a plan. I'll help you. I'll be with you. I'll do this. Now, I want you to look in verse 7 with me tonight. And I want you to notice this exhortation, because there is a difference between God comforting Jeremiah and God coddling Jeremiah. Now, I said that right. He comforted Jeremiah and helped him with his hesitation and doubts. Here's what he didn't do. He didn't coddle him. Look at what it says. Verse number 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Okay, here's what he says. You quit that. Amen. You quit with these excuses, and you quit saying all the things you can't do. You understand with me tonight, God's not interested in all the things that you can't do. God knows what you can't do. What God is interested in is what you can do. I think one of the greatest commendations in all the Bible comes from the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 14 with the woman with the alabaster box, when she broke it and anointed the Lord there, and people began to ridicule her and give her a hard time. Jesus came to her rescue and said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. And what God requires out of you and I tonight is not all the things we can't do. God requires of us all the things we can. And so he says, say not I'm a child. Don't do that. It's a very straightforward. It's basically quit hesitating. Quit saying this. He's very stern in his approach. He says, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Look in verse 17. Here's what he says. Thou therefore gird up thy loins. It's like saying, roll up your sleeves and get to work. Quit giving me all the excuses and the reasons and that kind of stuff for why you're not doing something. Jeremiah, I've called you. I've got something for you. I want this out of your life. Quit telling me all the reasons and those kind of things. And God is not trying to belittle him. He's not trying to be hateful or those kind of things. But I appreciate a God who's very straightforward. And my friend, he does not coddle Jeremiah at all. We're not careful. We coddle people too much. Oh, I understand why you're not doing this. I understand why. God never comes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, I know I'm kind of demanding on you. I know, and I kind of expect a little bit too much. Maybe next week you can get around to doing what I've asked you to do. Maybe we'll revisit this some other time down the road. God doesn't do that. Some people, well, preacher, what do you expect out of us? I have folks in our church that have said that over the years. Preacher, what do you expect out of me? It's really not what the preacher expects out of you that's the issue. It's what does God want from you? Because the preacher, as he's serving the Lord and trying to help you, he wants what God wants from you. And we're not helping people endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ by coddling people. But here's what he does say. You'll find in verse 8, he says, be not afraid of their faces. I don't care how they look at you. I'm going to be with you. I sent you. I'll empower you. I'll help you. I'll walk with you along this thing. I'm going to be right here with you. Jeremiah, you're not in this thing by yourself just to do what you have to do. Jeremiah, I'm with you. I want this from your life. And every step of the way, I'll be right there. I'm so grateful tonight for the comforting hand of God. And while he doesn't coddle us, he does comfort us. He does exhort us. He does encourage us. Hey, you can do what I want you to do. And I'm thankful for God and his exhortation in our lives along these realms. God tells him very clearly, by the way, verse 19, they shall fight against thee. How do you like a call to the ministry and say everybody that you're going to minister is going to fight against you? That's the church I want to go pastor. I'm thankful for the church that God's given me and those to whom I get to serve right beside in the work of God. Jeremiah was told from very day one, they're not going to like it. They're going to fight against you. You're going to have to, you read the entire chapter, you're going to have to tear a lot of things down. You're going to have to go in and tear down and destroy in order to build back up. It was just not an easy ministry that God called him to. But all the while he's being exhorted, I'll be with you. In fact, John chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible says this, Jesus speaking, says, without me ye can do nothing. We can't serve without him. And I'm glad that along the way, as we serve the Lord, I'm glad to know that he's been there and watched him do some things. When I was a kid, my dad was always a mechanic. He'd be tinkering with something and messing with a car. And a lot of times I'd go out there and I would sit and I'd watch my dad try to fix something and deal with something. And I know you may not believe this, but I got in the way. I was more of a nuisance. My dad could do a whole lot more and accomplish a whole lot of things faster without me. But he would include me so I could be with him. Son, hand me this wrench. I'd bring half the toolbox to him. No. And he would show me which one. He would do something. He would take out of his time. Say, what's your point? When it comes to the work of God, God doesn't need us. No, just go ahead and get that out of your mind tonight. God doesn't need us. God could do a whole lot more things and do them better without us, actually. But here's the thing. He lets us come and lets us be a part. And together we get to spend time with Him and watch Him work and do things. And you and I get to be a part of what God is doing. What an encouragement to our hearts tonight. Jeremiah, I've got something I want you to do. And he explains it to him. Even amongst the excuses, God exhorts him. Then I want to give you one last thing tonight. And that's the excitement from being used of God. Notice something in verse 18 with me tonight, would you? Notice what it says. In verse number 18, the Lord tells Jeremiah here. He says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls." God says, "Jeremiah, I've done this to you." Do you realize when we get involved in the work of God and we begin to allow God to use us to serve Him, God will often use those instances along the way to help develop us and begin to work within us and do things to us that wouldn't be done any other way. I've watched God often take me out of my comfort zone. I don't know us not having a close acquaintance and things, but my wife could bear testimony to this. Certainly my church folks could. Your pastor and I were talking about at lunch today our personalities and those kind of things, and I am an introvert by nature. A good day for me is 8 hours in the office with the door shut and the phone don't ring. That's a wonderful day. I often am amazed at what God does with what little He has to work with. And I mean that from my heart. This is not my personality. Some preachers walk in the room and, man, they're just people getters. And that's not me. I have to work at conversation. I have to Google it, all right? How do you have a conversation? It's not natural to me. I'm telling you tonight, watch God do things with me as I've tried to serve Him and change me, knock off rough edges. Say, "Preacher, he sure got a lot more to go." Oh, yeah, he really does. While I may not be everything tonight I want to be or even what I should be, I'm amazed tonight as I've walked with Him, tried to serve Him, the things that He's done to me. I'm a different fella tonight than what I started years ago. God's worked in me. You see, serving the Lord is not just what God will do with you, but along the way, it's what God will do to you. God will change you. And God will use you in ways that you never thought, put you in situations that are absolutely out of your comfort zone. And it's incredible. It's an exciting thing to put your life in the hands of the Lord Himself and watch Him do things that you could never do on your own. So what God tells Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I've got a job for you. I want you to be a prophet to all the nations. While you're here tonight, and God may not call you to be a prophet per se, God does have something He wants out of your life. As incredible as it was for Jeremiah, as it is incredible for this preacher, and I know your pastor would agree in this area, and many tonight could stand up and give testimony, it is an incredible thing to serve God with your life. I'm just telling you, God has something He wants from you. The issue is, are you willing to let Him? Jeremiah gave the excuses and he was hesitant. There's no question about it. Ah, Lord. And yet, God began to exhort him and began to help him and comfort him and challenge him. And doing so, Jeremiah got to see things with the Lord that most could never dream of. You think about those to whom God uses in the Bible. What God did with their life, how He used them, to what capacity, watching the hand of God. I'm telling you, it's an incredible thing. There is no greater joy than to serve the Lord with your life. Wonder tonight. Number one, do you know what God wants from you? You say, well, preacher, I don't know where this road will lead. I tell you tonight, over 20-something years ago, when I gave my heart and life, not just as of it, but I surrendered my life to the Lord to do whatever, I didn't know where it would lead. I didn't know that it would lead to being a pastor. But you know, it's not an issue of you having the whole thing mapped out. It's an issue of you saying, Lord, it's not much, but I'm going to give you my life. And whatever that entails, I'm willing to serve you. I want to leave you with this verse tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. If you have something for me, I'd like to know what it is. I'd like to know what that first step is so I can take that first step. Lord, I'd like to know what that next step is so I can take that next step. I want to serve you in the way that you have for me. Listen, that's the essence of missions. Lord, if you would use me, here I am. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed tonight. We stand to our feet. I said it this morning, I'll say it again tonight. I don't think God calls every young man to be a preacher, but I think every young man ought to surrender to it. God, here I am. Here I am. This is what I'm willing to do. Some young lady tonight, God's dealing with your heart about a particular service, about growing, about ministering in this capacity. that your life is important to Him. He's got something for you to do. The step that needs to be taken tonight is, Lord, here I am. Here I am.